Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at CraigTOwens.com.
Beware of the sneaky bite. Flattery crosses a line from a genuine compliment to becoming a sneaky bite. Jesus showed us how to be on guard against this bite and protect our hearts from its evil designs. This is the second message in our series called When Sheep Bite Sheep. If you would like to watch the video of this sermon, or if you'd like to check out some related resources, take a look at the show notes.
Well, it is always a delight to be with you guys, to worship with you, see your smiling faces. In fact, there's no other faces that I'd like to see. You guys are probably hands down the best worshipers, the best Bible students. You guys dig into God's word. I love being here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be with anybody else but with you guys.
What are you looking at? Evangelistically speaking.
I crossed the line there. Did you hear that? I went from a genuine compliment. I really do enjoy worshiping with you guys, but started laying that on a little thick there, didn't I? That is called flattery. Flattery is the next sheep bite that we want to talk about. I call flattery the sneaky bite. It's sneaky because crossing that line from compliment to flattery, like where was that? It can just be so subtle that we go across that line, but we've got to be really careful about what's behind the flattery, because what's behind it is a set of teeth. The flatterers are biters. Now, let's make sure we got our definitions straight. If you go to the dictionary and look, it says for compliment that it is genuine, sincere appreciation. So you can genuinely and sincerely point something out in somebody that you like, that you appreciate, that you want to recognize. There is nothing wrong with that. We see that throughout the Bible. That's perfectly acceptable. Flattery, on the other hand, though, if you go to the dictionary, one of the first words you're going to see in the dictionary is insincere. That's one of the first words you're going to see. This insincerity, that they're laying it on a little thick. And I think what the real thing is, what happens, the subtle shift from compliment to flattery is really a focus going like this. A compliment, I'm complimenting you. When it goes to flattery, I'm turning it back around and I want you to know how clever I was to recognize all those things about you. I saw it. And aren't I so wonderful that I could see these things in you and point them out to you? That's where the insincerity comes in, because it's no longer a focus on you. It's about a focus on me, what I can get out of it. So let me walk you through a couple of examples in the Bible. We want to first spot the flattery, but then we want to see what can we do to protect ourselves against the bite of the flattery. Now, there's different reasons why people would want to flatter, but like I said, flattery is turning around. It's what can I get out of it? I'm not really interested in you. It might sound on the outside, it has that kind of coding that it's about you, but ultimately, it's not. It's about me. And I think that the first thing when people are flattering is that they're really trying to figure out how they can get something for themselves. What can I get for myself? So look at in Mark chapter 10. Jesus has just gotten done teaching in an area and he's about ready to move on. And it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, at first, if you say, okay, well, that sounds right. I mean, there are other people who have noticed this about Jesus, that he is a good teacher. Some people have said, We've never really heard anybody teach with this kind of authority before. We've never heard people pull out such words that are so meaningful like this before. So, yeah, he's a good teacher. But I want to point out a couple of things, and you'll see it here first. It says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The compliment would have been, good teacher, you have shown me the way to eternal life. There is nothing in all of Jesus' teachings up to this point that people say, well, I kind of missed it, Jesus. How do I have eternal life? How do I make it to the Father? He's outlined it very clearly. So the compliment would have been, good teacher, thank you. You showed me the way to eternal life. But did you hear what he said? Good teacher, what do I have to do? And the undertone there is, what's the bare minimum for me to get by? Isn't there a secret thing to me that'll help me get in? Now, let me show you. In the Amplified Bible, it brings it out a little bit. It says, teacher, you are essentially and perfectly morally good. That's where he's like laying it on a little thick. The word that he picks there for good is saying, nobody's equal to you. This is, you know, you've got it, and this is wonderful. But now that I've buttered you up with that, can you tell me what do I need to do? What's the inside scoop here? Listen to David captures this as well in Psalm chapter 12. He says, help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. And then David identifies what's going to happen next. He says, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. He says, God hears this and he's judging this. Now, here's the important thing about that. If God knows the difference between the sincere compliment and the insincere flattery, the compliment that's genuinely focused on you or the flattery that is focused back on what can I get out of this thing, then the Holy Spirit can make us aware as well. We can feel it in our spirit. Oh, that just went from a compliment. That crossed the line. It's sneaky, but it crossed the line. And David says, I'm starting to see it here. The godly are no more. There's nobody that's faithful to God among men. And the lies that they tell to their neighbors, they're flattering lips. They're telling them lies dressed up in flattery. It's not about the person that they're talking to. It's about them. Look at it. Jude says it this way. He's talking about people that I would call pseudo-religious people. They want to look good on the outside. Jude says that they flatter others for their own advantage. That the flattery is not for the other person, it's for their own advantage. I like how the Amplified Version again brings it out. He calls it, they call it great swelling words. Not just sincere words, but I've puffed these words up a little bit. They're trying to puff us up with these words. Peter identifies the same kind of group of people, and when he's talking about them, he adds a word here. He says that they're great swelling words of emptiness. If you listen to them closely, you'll see that's a lot of hot air. It's just a swelling, it's a wind, it's a breeze, and it makes a lot of noise. There's nothing behind it. There's nothing that's there that's of substance. It's not about you, it's about them. And so we have to be careful that people that are, when they come along, that's what's called this sneaky bite. Now, let's go back to Psalm chapter 12. Everyone lies to his neighbor, their flattering lips speak with deception. That word deception, I think the Amplified really catches it best. It's a double heart. They have flattering lips from a double heart. In other words, they've got two things going on. They've got an ultimate agenda in one part of their heart that they're just keeping to themselves, and then they're making it seem like their heart is going towards you. Good teacher. It sounds good. oh, you are absolutely perfect, flawless, wonderful. There's nobody like you anywhere else in the world. Oh, can you tell me what's the secret here? How do I get in on this? The Message paraphrase really shows you how thickly they lay it on. Lies slide off their oily lips. They double talk with forked tongues. That's the flattery. That they're just buttering you up for what they can get out of it. Now, look at another example. Let's go back to Mark's gospel again, just a couple chapters over, Mark chapter 12. This is another reason why people will flatter you, is because they want to make themselves look superior. They want to make themselves look better. And so one of the ways that they'll do that is they're going to set you up for failure. Think about it in school. If you want to say, I got really good grades, I got really good grades compared to what? Well, I'm not going to compare myself to the valedictorian that's got a 4.0. I'm going to find somebody who's got just slightly lower grades than me so I can say, well, I'm doing better than that guy is. Okay? So flattery is to butter somebody up so that they look pretty good, and yet, look, they stumbled, and I didn't stumble, so I look better than they do. So look in Mark chapter 12. There's some people in verse number 14. They come to him. They say, teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the word of God in accordance with the truth. A little thick, right? Well, let's back up a couple of verses. What's their motivation? Verse number 12, they looked for a way to arrest Jesus because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. They were the religious leaders. Everybody looks to us. And all of a sudden, they go, uh-oh, Jesus just made us look bad. We're not up on as high of a shelf as we were before. What are we going to do about this? Well, they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. But later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. And Jesus knew this, that especially they tipped their hand. I mean, listen to how flowery that is. We know you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men. You pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the word of God in accordance with the truth. They really piled this stuff on here when they were doing this. Solomon says that those who flatter their neighbor are spreading nets for their feet. Jesus knew they were putting a net down here with this question that they're coming with. They just wanted to get him all tangled up. They gave him the question that they asked him about paying taxes. Do we pay taxes or not? They thought that they had a foolproof trap here. Because however he answered, he could be in trouble. He could be caught in the net of somebody else. And so the way that they hid, they put their net down, the leaves that they put on top of that to hide it. Oh, you are wonderful. Pay no attention to the net down here. You're wonderful. You're perfect. Just keep walking towards us. Because listen to what we're saying to you. Don't you want to be around us? How wonderful we make you feel. Come on over here. And they had laid this net down for his feet. Okay. So flatterers are looking for something for themselves. Flatterers are sometimes looking for ways to set you up for failure so that they can look good in, by comparison. So again, the flattery is all about them. But there's a third reason that people flatter. And this is, I think, kind of will follow after those other two, that we can begin to flatter ourselves. We can begin to listen to good teacher, morally perfect. You aren't swayed by anything. You're a person of integrity. How wonderful you are. And then you start going, oh, yeah, I am pretty good, aren't I? I start to flatter myself. Okay? And listen what happens. Go back to the book of Psalms where David is talking here in Psalm 36. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There's no fear of God before his eyes. Now pause right there. That word fear of God means reverencing God above all else. So what he's saying here is there's something else that I put in a higher place than God. Yeah, I am pretty good, aren't I? compared to what? There's no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes, he flatters himself. He flatters himself too much to detect or hate his own sin. And then he says, here's the reality. The reality is the words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful, and he ceased to be wise and to do good. And even on his bed, he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. But what he's telling himself is how wonderful he is. He flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. Now, we talked about last week about when a bite comes, we need to self-examine, allow the Holy Spirit. This is the verse we talked about from Psalm 62. Test me, try me, examine me. Look very closely, God. Scrutinize me and point out to me any places where I'm falling short, that I need to pay attention to this. Well, it's the same thing with this sneaky bite of flattery. When we detect that it's gone over the top, why are they flattering me in that area? Have I been flattering myself? Have I been blind to something there that the Holy Spirit has tried to show me? And maybe I've kind of talked around it a little bit. I've kind of like, well, it's not that bad. I mean, it's not like I'm out doing this or this like those other people. Oh, there's that comparison again. Okay. So let's go back and look at how Jesus dealt with the flatterers that came to him. Okay, so look at Mark chapter 10 again. Let's see this one here. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher. Remember that morally, perfectly, excellent teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responded with another question. Why do you call me good? There's no one good except God alone. When the compliment comes, that's fine. Say thank you. Thanks for recognizing that. But when you sense that it has gone from the compliment and it's starting to go to flattery, you have to say, wait a minute. Okay, compared to God, compared to the standard that Jesus lived out for me, compared to what the Holy Spirit is revealing to me from the Word, man, I got a long way to go. Thank God for how far he's brought me, but man, I got a long way to go. I'm not going to let those words settle. I'm not going to let them catch in there. I'm not going to let them go, oh yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I think that does sound like me. He turned it back around and he says, hey, listen, no one, God is the standard. Mm-hmm. Where do you fall on that one? Or as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in case you want it even more clear, be perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not even, like Mary Poppins said, practically perfect in every way. I'm not there. That's not me. And so you got to not let those words go in where you start then self-flattering and saying what's going on. Because look at what happens. This flattery really can feed our own pride. Here's how C.S. Lewis warned us. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. Pride is a spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. That's why we got to be aware of why is that flattery seem so appealing to me? Is it stoking my pride? I should say I need to be very humble here in listening to that thing that's coming in. Look at Mark chapter 12. Now, we already saw that Mark gave us a little bit of background, that they're looking for a way to try to trip him up. But it even said, Jesus says this, Jesus knew, verse number 15, Jesus knew their hypocrisy, and so he said, why are you trying to trap me? One of the ways to make sure that we don't fall for the sneaky bite of flattery is to call it out for what it is. This is hypocrisy. You have a double heart. You have a forked tongue. You have your own agenda. You're trying to set me up for something. You've put a net down here. You're trying to get me to walk in. You're trying to get me to believe my own press clippings about myself, how great I am. I'm going to call it out for what it is. You've crossed the line. Right? You've gone too far on this. Now, we do need people around us that will be people of encouragement, okay, and genuine compliment. That's important for us. But I think that it starts with understanding the compliment or the motive behind the person that's coming. Here's been my experience. Most of the time, when I receive what will go beyond compliment to a flattery, it's somebody who doesn't know me very well yet, somebody I've just gotten to know them. They might come here, visit on a Sunday. We've never heard anybody preach like you do. This is the greatest. Hold on. You don't even know. You listen to one sermon. Let's tap the brakes here a little bit. Okay? We need people that truly know us and know us and love us enough to speak the truth to us. Here's what Solomon says. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. But an enemy, a flatterer, he's just going to multiply kisses. How wonderful you are. But look at a couple verses down. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Not from, like, as we looked at these other verses, the double heart, the double tongue, the oily lips, the self focus, what am I going to get out of this? But a friend is focused on you. And they might say, I love you enough to point something out here where you need some work. You need some help. I love you enough to wound you in this area, but I'm also going to stay here with you and walk through this. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. The enemies will just say, everything, I wouldn't change a thing. Looks perfect. Looks great. No, you're wonderful. And then they're trying to worm their way in. You owe me. You hear how much I complimented you? See, I'm in your corner like nobody else is. But look at those verses. It's a friend that does this. It's the earnestness, the heartfeltness. They really know me.
Yeah.
These people that came running up to Jesus, this man in Mark chapter 10, as far as we know, this is the first time that he's ever shown up. First time that he's heard Jesus speak. Mark chapter 12, we know that these guys are, they've got an agenda. Hey, you made us look bad, so we're going to try to set a trap. We're going to flatter you, see if we can set you up for failure to pull you down. Recognize who it is that's speaking. That's going to help you discern. Now, like we talked about before, it's this difference between natural and supernatural. It's natural to want a compliment. It's supernatural, the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit, to recognize when the compliment has gone to flattery and is setting you up for a bite. I put it this way too. Flattery makes you feel like you're on top of the world. Flattery makes you forget the things the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that you need to work on. You hear that and it begins to drown out the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the quiet, gentle, unmistakable voice. The flatterer's voice can drown out the Holy Spirit's voice if we're not careful. And as Jesus asked, what do you gain if you've got the whole world at your feet and you lose your soul in the process?
Amen.
And that's why I call flattery the sneaky bite, because it can it's so subtle. Where did it cross the line? Started off as a compliment, genuine, sincere, and then somewhere right in here. How did it go to insincere? Where did that happen? That's where the Holy Spirit can be saying, hold on. Listen to my voice. Listen to the voice of a friend around you that is a godly friend that loves you enough to speak the truth to you, to tell you, call you out on things that need to be called out on. That's what we need to have in our life. Be very wary of those people that all they say about you is just flowers and wonderful and all perfumed up, because you have to say, we prayed that prayer. Test me, try me. Examine me. The Holy Spirit showed me what's really there. I'm not as good as you're saying that I am. And I need to remember that. Now, don't take it the other extreme, because then we go too far and the devil then will start saying, yeah, you really stink. and take us into condemnation.
Yeah.
Okay? We need the proper balance. That's why we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's coming through the Word, we might be reading something, whether it's in our prayer time and He's speaking to us about something we need to address, or whether it's a friend that we know that truly loves us and cares about us and says, hey, brother, sister, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Okay? And that's those are the voices that we need to pay attention to and be very wary. Let the Holy Spirit supernaturally tune your ear and your heart to know, when did it compliment? Oh, it just went too far. That's now starting to be insincere.
Yeah.
And I can't let that come in. Lord, would you help us? We don't want to fall prey to this trap of flattery. You showed us a great example of how you knew exactly who you were. You knew what was in the heart of other people. And that same Holy Spirit that was assisting you and giving you that insight is in us to give us that insight as well. We don't want to just succumb to the natural that says, I don't want anybody to tell me what's wrong with me. I just want to hear all the things that are great about me. We need your supernatural voice to confront ourselves through your loving eyes.
Yes.
You're the only one that has the perfect standard. And so we want to measure everything up. The only voice that we should care about hearing is the voice of our Master and Savior that will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't matter to us how many compliments we receive from anybody else, or even how much criticism we receive from anybody else. We only want to hear your voice. Your voice is the only one that matters, that will say to us at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your Master's happiness forever and forever. So Holy Spirit, keep us on guard against flattery that would set us up to begin to believe lies, that would trip up our feet, that would make us even deaf and dumb to our own shortcomings that you're trying to help us deal with. We want to tune that voice out, and we want to be tuned in to your perfectly loving, wise voice. Help us this week to be able to spot the compliments and receive them, and spot the insincere flattery and tune that out. Help us in that, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to craigtowens.com.